Amen. Amen. How many of you are glad you came tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We will start in verse 18. I'm just going to read some verses here. Isaiah 43, 18. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'm going to read that again. Isaiah 43, 18. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now I'm going to just bump over to Isaiah 46. I'm going to read verse 9. He says, remember the former things of old. Now in chapter 43, verse 18, he said, remember not the things. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, he said, remember the things of old. So you think, well, Lord, are you confused? No, God's not confused. What God does in the what God has done needs to be remembered and honored. But at the same time, when God is doing a new thing, you have to let go of the old thing in order to run with the new thing that God is doing.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you have some things in your life that you are that God is starting to do. Well, you need to. There may be and probably are some old things in your life that you need to let go. Even some of the things that God has done in your life, you can't hold on and to the point that you are resisting the new thing that He wants to do. You know, we can get really stuck in a rut where God has done great things in our life, but you get a little fearful of having to step out in faith again. I mean, how many of you have stepped out in faith and you saw a great victory and you think, praise God, I'm never going to have to use my faith again. I finally won. And then the Lord has you the next day start another fight of faith. And you're like, I don't want to do this. I just got finished with the first one or the third one that I've ever fought. Lord, I just want things to be settled. I want to quit fighting the fight of faith and quit having to believe you for things and just hold on to what you've already done. You have to thank God for what He's done, honor God for what He's done, remember God for what He's done, praise God for what He's done. But at the same time, you have to let go of things in the past because what God is doing right now requires your full attention. God always has a new thing. That doesn't mean every day that He has a new thing, but periodically and in times and seasons, God has a new thing that He does in the lives of His people, in a nation, and across the world. God does a new thing by the power of His Spirit. And God will do a new thing in your life. And it's so important that you recognize when God is doing a new thing, because that'll give you the faith to step out. How many of you remember, I believe it's in John chapter 21. Let me just check my reference here. I believe it's, John 21 verse 6. When Peter was out fishing and Jesus had been crucified and they hadn't seen, they didn't know where Jesus was. They hadn't seen Him. And Peter's discouraged. A lot of the disciples are discouraged. And Peter says, I go a-fishing. How many of you remember that story? And so Peter's fishing all night. They catch nothing. And then Jesus shows up and He says, throw your nets on the other side. And so they do it and they catch a huge boatload of fish. You know what? God did a new thing. Man did the same thing. Just throw out the nets. You've been doing that your entire life. You may have been throwing out the net in faith for a few years and believing God. But when God does a new thing, then your same thing is all of a sudden going to explode with the glory of God. It's going to explode with the increase of God. Oh, you missed a good place to get happy right there. When God is doing a new thing, then your same thing is all of a sudden going to explode with God's blessing and God's increase. The same thing that you've been doing, Peter, it was the same thing. But when God does a new thing, if you're aware of it, as it says in Isaiah 43, behold, I do a new thing, will you not know it? If you're Peter and you hear somebody say, cast the nets on the other side, when Peter heard that, he didn't know it was Jesus. But for some reason in his spiritual gut, he just knew, I need to do this. Sometimes when God's doing a new thing, it comes across as like, I don't understand. That wasn't really, is this really God? Is this really what I need to do? But you just move on it because you bear witness in your spirit. And the same thing that you've been doing for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe 10 years, all of a sudden, because it's God's new thing, it begins to explode with the blessing of God. Hallelujah. So you got to know when God's doing a new thing. You got to recognize the times and the seasons of what God is doing in your life. And also, we have to recognize the times and the seasons of what God is doing among the entire body of Christ and in the world today. Hallelujah. My message tonight is old things and new things. Now, today, if you haven't heard, we had one of the biggest homegoings in the body of Christ that we have ever had. In your lifetime, you may not have experienced a homegoing of this magnitude. But Billy Graham died at the age of 99 years old, I think early this morning, and went home to be with the Lord. And that is a really, really big deal in the kingdom of God. I was watching Billy Brim shared a prophetic word that she had today that I think it was probably about 10 or 15 years ago before Oral Roberts died. And this is kind of funny, but she was in a room, I think, with Kenneth. She told the story. She was in a room with Kenneth Copeland and Oral Roberts and a few others. And Oral Roberts just suddenly said, just blurted out in the middle of the conversation, "I'm going home to be with the Lord when I turn 87. You know, he may have been in his upper 70s at this point. I don't know. He just had decided he wanted to go home to be with the Lord when he turned 87. Because, you know, a lot of saints that are really close to the Lord, when they get up in age, they know. You've heard stories. I mean, they know, well, this is going to happen tomorrow. And then sure enough, they go home to be with the Lord the next day. They weren't sick. They never got sick. Nothing was wrong with their physical body. They just went home to be with the Lord. Well, Oral Roberts said, "I'm going home to be with the Lord when I turn 87. And they said, "Well, we don't know." And then he said, "I know what happens to the physical body. And I'm going home to the Lord when I turn 87. And it was kind of funny because Billy Brim knew Oral and Evelyn. And she said that everybody that was close to Oral Roberts during that time period knew that he was trying to go home to be with the Lord. I mean, obviously not doing anything like suicide, but just that he was just trying to go. "Well, how's Oral doing?" This is what she said. "Well, he's trying to go home to be with the Lord for a period of time." I mean, just pushing the envelope. And all of a sudden, Billy Brim said she had a word from God and she went and wrote it down and brought it to Oral Roberts at his house. And they just had a Holy Ghost meeting. She gave him this prophetic word, and somebody got healed. Oral Roberts laid hands on, I believe it was her husband, and the power of God hit him, and his back was healed. But she gave him this word. And Oral Roberts said later, wrote an email or a letter back to her and said that that was one of the greatest Holy Ghost meetings he had been in a long time. But the word was that she said to Oral Roberts, she said, "Many people can pick and know the time that they're going home to be with the Lord, but there are two people who can't. That's Oral Roberts and Billy Graham." I want to back up a little bit now on the history here and why this is so important. Smith Wigglesworth in the early 1900s began to give a prophetic word saying that when I die, the greatest move of God up to this point on the earth is going to take place. Well, Smith Wigglesworth died in 1947. Wow, I just feel the power of God just talking about this. Smith Wigglesworth died in 1947. In 1947, Billy Graham held his first crusade in Grand Rapids, Michigan. In 1947, Oral Roberts held his first crusade in Enid, Oklahoma. In 1947, Jack Coe started his tent crusade ministry, sold his house, bought a tent, and he and his wife went out in the tent crusade ministry. But I'm focusing on Billy Graham and Oral Roberts here. In 1947, the year that Smith Wigglesworth died, that there's no doubt when you study church history and the voice of healing and see when would you pinpoint the year that the voice of healing revival started? It's 1947. The voice of healing revival was one of the most powerful revivals that has ever taken place on the face of the earth since Jesus walked the earth. And if you just think about this for a minute, when Jesus walked the earth, miracles happened, healing miracles. I mean, you can't count. The word said all the books in the world couldn't contain all of the miracles that took place, the healing miracles that took place. And I've noticed that in the ministry of the Apostle Paul and Peter that there were a lot of miracles, but it was not everywhere that they went like it was under the ministry of Jesus. And all through church history, this is very, very interesting. When you study church history, that all through church history, from the time that the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost all the way up till today, there have been many revivals that have taken place. The Azusa Street Revival was a revival of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Spirit and speaking in tongues. And there have been many other revivals that have taken place. Like in the 90s, there was an outpouring of the Spirit here at Calvary Cathedral and all over the nation and really all over the world. But there's only been one revival that in all of history that was marked by healings like that. And that was the Voice of Healing Revival that started in 1947. And just as a side note, I think it's kind of funny that when you talk to the Pentecostals, it's like they all talk about, you know, Oral Roberts and Jack Coe in that revival in the 40s and the 50s, and you almost never hear Pentecostals talk about Billy Graham. But if you talk to the Baptist, they don't even know Oral Roberts and Jack Coe and all these others were ever even alive. The only person they ever know that was alive was Billy Graham. It's funny how different camps see things differently, but just looking at everything God did, Billy Graham held some of the largest crusades. I mean, I think it was 6 weeks, he was in Madison Square Garden in the 50s in New York City every single night. I just love that. Every single night. And it got so big they had to go to Yankee Stadium. And I don't remember how many nights, if it was one, two, or three or what, but they filled Yankee Stadium. And the crowds have never, for an extended revival like that, those numbers have never been exceeded. We've had other big meetings where there's been like a concert to draw people in and things that have had crowds that have been bigger, but that's not like a revival where God was really moving like he was back then. So it's very important to notice that when Smith Wigglesworth died, this move of God started. So God does things in times and seasons. There are old things and new things. And so with the passing of great men of God, it's like when Elijah passed away, his mantle fell from heaven. So when Oral Roberts and Billy Graham have passed away, the mantle that they have carried falls and is passed out and is distributed by the hand of God. People can't decide, well, I think I'll take a little bit of Oral Roberts' mantle. I mean, nobody can decide that. God knows what he's doing. God has never left without the next generation of leadership. I want to tell you that what God is doing right now is greater than what he did in 47. Hallelujah. What God is starting to do in the new thing that God is doing and understanding that with the passing of a generation, just like when Smith Wigglesworth passed away and that marked a great move of God, that with the words that we have seen and anybody who knows and hears prophetic words, you've heard the word that I just shared with you about Billy Graham and Oral Roberts already on your own. So you already knew that. That there's going to be a great move of God released when these men go on to their reward. And God held, I don't understand the timing of God. There are things, God holds the times and seasons in his hands, so he knows what he's doing. But I'm here to encourage you tonight that God is doing a new thing. That what God has done in the past is going to pale in comparison to what he is doing right now. Hallelujah. Old things and new things. God has never left without a greater anointing. God has never left without somebody that's going to carry on the move of the Spirit greater than what he was doing before. Hallelujah. God goes from glory to glory. Praise God. And when people like this pass on to their reward, the mantle that they carried here on earth stays here on earth. And the work of God stays. And God links his timing to these transitions. We don't understand that, but God has certain things set in his timing, and the moves of the Spirit, the manifestations of his glory are linked to transitions that take place like this. So I'm just here to encourage you tonight that God has got a new thing for you personally, but God has a new thing for the body of Christ here in the United States of America. Can you say hallelujah tonight? God has a new thing for the body of Christ here in the United States of America. What God did through those great men of God, I'm telling you, that anointing and that mantle is still here. And God is raising up people that are going to exceed and take the baton and run with it and do more than we have ever seen take place in the kingdom of God before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, it's time to get happy and get excited. Old things and new things. Hallelujah. So with the old things that God has done, we honor that. We honor what God's done. We thank God for it. But when God is putting a new thing, a new faith project, take a hold of that new thing. I'm telling you, you may need to shed some things, you know, like shed that cocoon because God's doing a new thing. Lay those things aside. It's a testimony for what he's done because God's putting a greater baton in your hand than he ever has before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is putting a greater baton in your hand than he ever has before. Thank you, Jesus. Old things and new things. Hallelujah. So let's break this down in the Word here. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. I'm going to need some water. I'm not going to make it. We will start in verse 5. Old things and new things.
Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 1. We're going to do, I'm going to just read here to you for a little bit. I just want to read this story. Chapter 1, verse 5. Well, I'll start with verse 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years. Now just skip down to verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, which was David's son, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Well, that's a big mistake right there. Exalt yourself. You want to foul things up, exalt yourself. Well, we need to do something, you know. Well, we got to do this. You want to foul things up, just exalt yourself. He exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why have you done so? And he was also a very goodly man. In verse 7, and he conferred with Joab at Zariah and with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, you just got to love reading the Old Testament names here, Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoeleth, which is by Enrigal, and called his brethren the king's sons and the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan, look at here in verse 10, but Nathan the prophet and Benaniah the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. Wherefore Nathan spoke unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, does reign, and David our Lord knows it not? Therefore come, let me, I pray, and give you counsel that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go and get unto King David and say unto him, did you not swear, O king, unto your handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon your son will reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Why then does Adonijah reign? And behold, while you talk there with the king, yet I will come in after you and confirm your words. And just we're going to skip on down here. Go to verse 31. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, Lord, let my king David live forever. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. And the king also said to them, so now Bathsheba and Nathan have met with King David to tell him what's going on. And so here in verse 32, and King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king, and the king said unto them, take with you the servants of the Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest... reading the Old Testament is like speaking in tongues sometimes. Lord, have mercy. I feel like I'm illiterate sometimes. You start reading through all this stuff, it's like, I just want y'all to know out here that I speak English, okay? If anybody laughs at me, I'm gonna call you up to do the Old Testament reading next time. In verse 34, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there. Notice that word, anoint him there, as something that did not happen with Adonijah. Anoint him there, the king over Israel, and blow the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. And when you come up after him, that he may sit on the throne, for he shall be king in my stead and have... And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen, the Lord God of my Lord the king, say so. And verse 37, as the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so he be with Solomon and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and... they all went down to Solomon to ride upon the king David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And verse 39, and Zadok the priest took the horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet and all the people said, God save King Solomon. In verse 40, all the people came up after him and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy so that the earth rent with the sound of them. So here we have Adonijah who is trying to do a hostile takeover. And In verse 5, again, then Adonijah, the son of Higgath, exalted himself. So Adonijah is trying to do a hostile takeover of the work of God. But I want you to know that God has things under control. God puts leaders down. He sets up kings, and God has things under control in your life. I want to encourage you right now that you do not have to have everything figured out. Here in the realm of the natural, what was taking place was impossible to figure out. How is this going to happen? Everything in the natural was going one way and God's plan was going a different direction. But you did not have to have everything figured out. You just have to have a word from God, and everything is going to take place as God has said. Hallelujah. I want to tell you right now that when God is going from old things to new things, that the first thing that the devil is going to do is he's going to put out a false word of God. That's what happened with Adonijah. The first thing that happened was a false word came out. And people can get distracted from a false word. You know, Luke 8:50 says something very interesting. Jesus told and said, "Fear not and believe only." When you think about that, fear not and believe only, Jesus indicates that the believing means there is only one thing you need to believe. But when he said fear not, Jesus is in effect saying fear not everything else. Believe only and fear not everything else. God has always given you a word. I want you to know right now that God has never had you go in a situation where he does not already have a plan, but he has already also given you a word. God has given you direction. And you may be thinking, I don't know what to do. I need a word from God. What did God tell you last? One thing about the nature of God is if you're going through a whole lot of trouble and you're thinking, dear God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Your situation looks like 1 Kings chapter 1 where Adonijah's trying to do a hostile takeover and it looks like the devil's taken over and he was actually king for a little bit. I mean, that can be really discouraging when you look at things in your life and you're like, the devil's won. This is actually taking place. Adonijah's not trying to be king. He's already king and people are following him around. I mean, that's a serious situation. You can get into a place like that, but God has already spoken. God had already spoken who is going to be the next king. And I want you to know that God's word is always sure to come to pass. As I preached a few weeks ago, God's promise is sure to all the seed. Hallelujah. So God's promise is sure to you. It does not matter what the devil has done in the realm of the natural. Jesus says, fear not. And that means everything in the realm of the natural, fear not that. Hallelujah. See, the devil will try to attack you and move you through a lot of things. Just follow my train of thought here. The devil will try to attack you and move you through a lot of things. One thing over here, one thing over there, another thing over here, this argument over here, what this person said over here, and the strife and the discouragement and all this. It's all these different things coming from all these different directions. God does not need a lot of voices. He only needs to speak to you once, and he speaks to you one direction. And that word right there trumps everything that has taken place in the realm of the natural. God's word that he gave to Solomon to be king trumped everything that was taking place with Adonijah. Hallelujah. It is never too late, hallelujah, for you to see God's promise take place in your life. It is never too late for what God has spoken to you to take place. It is never too late. That old thing is not going to crush you. It's not going to hurt you. That old bad thing, God's got a new thing for you. And it is never too late for that new thing to manifest in your life. It doesn't matter what the devil's tried to do in the realm of the natural. People get too hung up on the realm of the natural. You want to see people that get caught into fear and start to get moved out of the will of God for their life? It's because they have a laundry list of everything in the realm of the natural. Well, look at that. Look at that. Well, our bank account. Our bank account's fine, but look at what happened at my job. Well, the job's fine, but look at what's happening with my health and the doctor this and the kids that. And then this business over here, they got a whole list of everything that the devil's doing in the realm of the natural. But what did God say? What is the word of God to you? What is he already spoken? Hallelujah. See, it's not in God's nature to just repeat the same word over and over and over again. God has spoken. And when you're going through a storm, when that new thing that God has promised you is struggling to come to pass, and it looks like Adonijah is sitting on top of your new thing and squandering everything. But what has God said to you? At that time, we want to try to create a new word from God. We want to try to formulate a new plan because we think God's plan A didn't work. And we want to try to come up with a new
plan and say, well, Lord, what about this and what about that? If you're praying along those lines and you're putting your own plan forth because you're afraid and you're looking in the realm of the natural and you're trying to combat the realm of the natural through your prayer life, then you're probably not going to get an answer from God. Well, you said, I can't. If I pray, I'm not getting an answer from God. No, I didn't say if you pray, you won't get an answer from God. I said, if you pray wrong, if your prayer is based out of the realm of the natural and about all these issues of fear, God's just going to sit there like this. Because I guarantee you, God has already spoken to you. Adonijah didn't catch God off guard. He wasn't even concerned. The Bible says God sits in the heavens and he laughs. You know, when Adonijah got up there on the throne, God was up there just like, oh, yeah, that's really funny. Let's see how long this lasts, Jack or Adonijah. How long are you going to make this thing take place? You ain't going nowhere, buddy. Everybody down on the earth was sweating it, running in circles, all totally, totally concerned in fear. Well, why does God do things like that? Why did he let Adonijah get on the throne? Hey, don't sweat it. God's word. Sweat God's word if you're going to sweat anything. God has already spoken to you. I'm going to tell you, when Adonijah gets on the throne, God didn't all of a sudden, you'll notice, he didn't all of a sudden start speaking through Nathan the prophet. Thus says the Lord, I already said that Solomon's going to be the king. Don't forget what God didn't start speaking again. I want you to understand that when the things go crazy in the natural or it's not taking place like you know what God said, God is still steady in the word that he spoke to you, and he is expecting you to stay steady in the word that he spoke to you. And just go back to what has God already said. Stop looking for a new word. And stop looking for something, a new plan. God will speak to you, but he has already given you that word. And it's not in God's nature to come back and speak again and speak again and say the same thing over and over and over again because he already spoke. God doesn't just repeat himself to try to comfort your flesh. You can be all up in a tizzy and all afraid because you're looking in the realm of the natural. Well, God, why aren't you comforting me? Why aren't you doing this? Oh my gosh, Lord, don't you see what's going on? And you're just going crazy, all in a tizzy, in fear all over the place. And the Lord's not going to follow you around and say, remember my word, please, Paul. Don't forget what I told you. It's going to be okay. You're more than a conqueror. He's not going to come back and just visit you and break through that fear. You know what? David, when he was after the Amalekites, at Ziklag, when David was at Ziklag and they came and took and plundered his wives and his children, he had to get away from the fear and make his own decision to shut all that stuff out and encourage himself in the Lord. And that's when God spoke. God is not going to follow fear around to try to comfort you. And people get so lost by that kind of thing. Circumstances go bad in the natural or they're difficult. I'm telling you, when you're walking in the will of God, things like this are going to happen when it's like, what is Adonijah doing on the throne? If God's God, why did this happen? But God sometimes will just let Lazarus die so that you can know that God's word is all that you need. I'm going to tell you that again. God sometimes will just stand there like Jesus did and let Lazarus die just so you can realize that God is all that you need. God's word is all that you need. If you have a word from God, you have everything that you need. You don't need anything else. And it may look like the devil sat on top of your word, but I'm telling you, that word from God is incorruptible seed and it's going to spring forth and just stick the devil right in two when it does. Hallelujah. So don't worry about it. I'm here to encourage you tonight. God's the old things and the new things. God's making the transition just fine. And well, look what happened in the nation. We had another shooting last week. God's got things under control. Now, I'm not saying God was responsible for that because the devil was responsible for that 100%. Just like the devil was responsible for Adonijah trying to sit on the throne. But God's not caught off guard and it's never too late. Hallelujah. And it's the same thing in your life. No matter what's taking place, God is not caught off guard and it is never too late for the new thing that God has spoken to you to come to pass. Just go back to what he spoke and stay right there and get happy about it. Hallelujah. And do not be moved. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, having done all to stand, stand therefore. God's given you a word, stand on that word. And after you've done all to stand and you've been standing, keep standing on the word, praise God. Because the word that God gave to Solomon still came to pass, even though the devil was doing all these things in the realm of the natural. Hallelujah. When God's doing a new thing, the first thing the devil does is he wants to put out a false word.
Fake news.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what the devil tries to do. Fake news. It's then that you realize it's about what God does and not what man does. You can't be moved by what people are doing when you've got a word from God. The devil puts out a false word. One thing about the devil's false word is it lacks a word from God. Anytime there's action taking place that does not have a word from God, then you know the devil's involved. It doesn't matter how good it looks. It may look like it's all righteous and holy, but it lacks a word from God. You'll notice there in verse 10 that they did not invite Nathan the prophet. That's the first thing that happens when the devil's up to something, is that the man or the woman of God that God has placed in the life of that person or a group of people, that's the first thing they do is they don't talk to the man or the woman of God. When Adonijah started to go through this rebellion, what the first thing that he did, they disregarded God's mouthpiece, Nathan the prophet. They put the word of God out. They moved without the word of God, and they moved without God's spiritual authority. That's the first thing that the devil tries to do when God's doing a new thing. See, it's a transition from the old thing to the new thing where the devil attacks. It's transition where the devil tries to attack because he knows that it's the most difficult time in the process of God and what he's doing in your life. When you're having to shed the old and move on to the new. And he's going to come, the devil's going to come with the false word. But it always lacks the word of God, and it's going to lack the man or the woman of God that God has placed in that situation. The plan of God is not the plan of man. The plan of God is not the plan of man. People always have a plan. It is good to have a plan. I have a plan. I have a plan for everything. But my plan is on the altar of God's because I know God has other plans. See, God's plan is not subject to the plan of man. Who could have planned out exactly how things would transpire here? Nobody could. God had a plan, and it was not the plan of man. You know, I just want to say right here that when God is going from an old thing to a new thing or doing transition or doing something in your life, we get too hung up on having to know everything and not having the exact plan. And if you're somebody who's a planner like I am, you can let that actually push you over into fear and get concerned about a problem that doesn't even really exist, just because you don't have the entire plan. But God has a way of not revealing everything. He declares the end from the beginning, but sometimes he doesn't declare to you everything in the middle. And actually, probably all the time, he doesn't declare to you everything in the middle. God's plans and thoughts are higher than our ways. And his means and his methods are far beyond our needs and our means and our methods. And he's got a plan, but he doesn't have to reveal everything to us. So when God's doing something in your life, he's going to do it. But you got to trust God. It takes a level of trust to see everything come to pass in your life that he has for you. Have a plan, but man, subject that thing to the plan of God. The thing that in your life that may seem right and logical in the natural, but none of that matters if it lacks the word. Logic and plans don't mean a thing if they lack the word from God. Where is the word? What is the word? I just want to pound this for a minute because I know you're hearing me, but I think you're not totally hearing me. Things in the kingdom of God, even like in this church or in our ministry, can look so logical and look like this. Like logic will dictate to you that, you know, something is a step in the ministry is not going to work. Or you step out on the plan of God, you step out in something in your life in faith, and all of a sudden things don't add up. The finances may not add up, or the people that you need to see take place in your life, the favor that you need for the business deal, or things in your family don't add up. And it's like, this is not working. But God's goes beyond logic. If we get our plans and our direction from logic and thinking 100%, then God cannot move in our life the way he wants to, because his word, it goes beyond the logic. Hallelujah. The logic is important. Let me tell you right now, your brain is there to carry out what God has spoken to your spirit. Your brain and your thinking is not to override what God has spoken to your spirit. The direction that God has for you is going to come out of your spirit. Your brain is not to then to think and make a logical plan of how it's going to work or how it's not going to work and then try to filter out whatever God's going to do. And that's where we miss it a lot of the times. Because God is going to walk you through times when you have an Adonijah there that's sitting on top of the plan of God and it looks like things have failed. And if you are not anchored in the Word of God, then you will miss the will of God. If you're not anchored in the Word right then and you think that logically Adonijah's on the throne so it's over and you're not anchored in the Word like Nathan the prophet was, Nathan held on to the Word. If you're not anchored in the Word, then the new thing that God has for you is going to be lost. So you got to get anchored in the Word. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Logic and thinking is not the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Having the Word of God and fearing God's Word above everything else is the beginning of God's wisdom in your life. Hallelujah. That is the ultimate answer for everything in your life. Logic and thinking can be the greatest enemy of the will of God to you. Let me say that again. Logic and thinking can be the greatest enemy of the will of God in your life. Because like I said, your brain and your logic and your thinking is there to carry out the Word of God that He has given to you in the realm of the natural. It's there to help make a plan and do things, but it is not to override the will and the Word of God that He has spoken to you. And that's where we miss it, especially we Americans, because we think we're smarter than everybody. You go to the third world nations and they know that God is greater and they're willing to believe God for miracles sometimes a lot easier than Americans are. We think that education is the greatest power that there is, and education is great, it's powerful. I think everybody ought to have a college degree. I've got one from Calvary Cathedral International Bible College. My wife's got a degree. I think everybody needs to have a degree if at all possible. But the fear of God is greater than that. The Word from God trumps the education. The Word from God trumps the logic that we have. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand that logic can be the greatest enemy of the will of God for your life if you think things through too much and get off of the Word that God has for you. Amen. Amen. I believe that's some good teaching right there. The devil puts out a false word, number one. Number two, you move on the right word from God. Nathan moved on the right word. You must move on the Word no matter what the cost, no matter what the risk, and trample on fear. When you move on the Word from God that God has for you, it's going to look like there's fear in the realm of the natural. There's going to be risk involved. At some point, the step of faith that you take for the will of God is going to involve a lot of risk. And you've got to move on that no matter what the cost. You see, when God's doing a new thing, you have to move on the Word from God. You've got to disregard the false word, disregard the lies and the strife or the gossip that the devil's trying to throw into your ears, and move on the right word that God has given you because He has spoken. So what has God already spoken to you? Begin to go back to that and move on that word. It takes action in the realm of the natural. Nathan couldn't just go back to his prayer closet and begin to prophesy the Word from God and prophesy, and all of a sudden Solomon, bang, he was the king now. Nathan had to take some steps in the realm of the natural to put his life at risk. They had to go before the king and put their lives at risk and take a big step of faith. They had to do something in the realm of the natural for that new thing to take place. God has something for you to do for the new thing that He's doing in your life to take place. There is a step of faith that He has for you to take, hallelujah, in order to step into that, praise God. And it's based on the Word from God. What you are hearing determines what you do. Man, you cannot hear everything in the realm of the natural. Now, don't misunderstand me. We have to be good stewards of the natural realm, and that's where people can get too spiritual, and then you're not a good steward of your finances. You're not a good steward of planning. I'm not talking about just disregarding everything in the realm of the natural, but you've got to move in the realm of the Spirit. You've got a word. You've got to act on that word that God has given you. Hallelujah. Number two, you move on the right word from God. Number one, the devil throws out a false word to distract you, discourage you, and get you into fear. You disregard that. Number two, you move on the right word from God. And number three, while many people are focused on the old thing, God brings a new thing. Well, a lot of people focused back here in 1 Kings chapter 1 on the old thing, on Adonijah and all the stuff going on, focused on the wrong thing. When the devil gets you into fear, like I've said a few months ago, when the devil's trying to put fear into your life, the dangerous thing about the fear is not what you're looking at that's making you fear, it's what you're going to do as a result of getting into fear. I'm going to say that again. The dangerous thing about fear is not what you're looking at that's making you get afraid.
Right.
The devil is throwing fear at you, not to just try to get you afraid just because, oh, he just wants to make you afraid. He's trying to get you afraid so he'll make you take the wrong move. He's trying to get you into fear. If he can get you focused 100% on the realm of the natural and get you into fear, then you're going to make the wrong move in the realm of the natural. You're going to take the wrong step of faith and begin to go the wrong direction. Hallelujah. While many people are focused on the old thing, God is doing a new thing. God always has a new thing. God always has a greater thing right around the corner. And I believe right now, because of the things that have happened today, that God is doing a new and a greater thing here in the United States of America. Hallelujah. And God is doing a new and a greater thing in your life. Praise God. Praise God for that. I'm going to tell you this right now. Fear keeps us focused on the old thing. Fear wants to keep you focused on the old things. Fear speaks things that already are. Faith speaks things that aren't as though they were. You notice one thing about fear. It always speaks what is in the realm of the natural. Fear always speaks and talks about what is in the realm of the natural. But faith calls things that be not as though they were. What's coming out of your mouth? What are you speaking? Fear keeps us focused on the old thing. Lack of a word from God keeps us focused on the old thing. When you begin to let go of what He has spoken prophetically to you, when you begin to let go of that, then you begin to get focused on the old thing. God goes from glory to glory. God hasn't done a move, and that was the biggest thing that He's got. And now, God's just flat out of ammo now. We're not going to see anything big anymore. It's just all downhill from here. And we're going to pray and hope the rapture comes quick enough that we're all still hanging on by the time the Lord returns. That is not how God does things. Can you say amen? God always has a new and a greater thing. Hallelujah. God always has something greater for you in your personal life. God always has something greater for Calvary Cathedral. He has a new move of the Spirit. He has greater increase and greater blessing for this church. Praise God. He has something greater for the United States of America. Hallelujah. He always has a new thing. He's never outdone himself. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, this is the last thing that I'm going to say tonight. The word from God marks the new thing, but also the anointing marks the new thing. One thing about what the devil is trying to do, it is never anointed. If your conversation about things taking place in your life is not anointed, if it lacks the presence of God, then you're talking about the wrong thing. God's new thing is always anointed. Adonijah was not anointed. There was never a time when they anointed him as king, but Solomon, the first thing that Nathan did was anoint him. God's new thing is always anointed. The anointing is always on what God is doing in your life. The new thing that He is doing, when you're in prayer and all of a sudden the fire of God, the anointing of God rises up on the inside of you, that's because that's the confirmation of what God is doing in your life. The new thing that God is doing, that promise that God has got for you, has the anointing on it. Praise God. It's a confirmation of the will of God for your life. I'm telling you right now, filter out everything that does not have the anointing of God on it. Filter out everything that has all kinds of words, but it lacks God's word. If you do that, I'm telling you, you're guaranteed to see the will of God come to pass in your life. Hallelujah. Filter out everything that lacks the anointing. Filter out everything that lacks God's single word. Hallelujah. And you will have the will of God. Whatever's left, that is the will of God for your life. Filter out all the multitude of people's voices that brings fear. Filter out all the multitude of thoughts that bring fear to your life. Filter out the things that do not have the anointing on them, and you will be left with the will of God. You will be left with the new thing that God has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say amen tonight. Amen. Glory to God. God's new thing in your life is always marked by a word from God and the anointing. The devil's thing for you is always marked by many words and no anointing. The Lord always has an anointed person ready. It's impossible for God to do anything and it not be anointed. God's will for your life is marked by His word. He has a word that He has given you and is marked by the anointing. Hallelujah. God's word is anointed. You want to know what's the will of God and what's not? What is God doing in your life? It's going to get impossible in the realm of the natural. I'm going to tell you right now. When Adonijah set up his throne, it was impossible in the realm of the natural. That was as dark as it could get. And if you're looking in the realm of the natural to determine the will of God for your life, you're going to miss part or all or some degree of the will of God for your life. God's got a word for you, and He has an anointing on your life to take place. And this manifesting, that's going to mark the will of God and the new thing that He has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight?